This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack. But with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us. It is time for the Educated Investor segment. It is brought to you this time each week by Cishon Financial. They're with the Householder Group. You can check out their website, cishonfinancialservices.com. That's C-I-C-H-O-N, financialservices.com. And their number, 720-482-1917. And with that, we will welcome the man himself, Mr. David Cishon. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm fine, Scott. How have you been?
I've been well, sir. Thank you very, very much.
Good.
And it's always good to have you with us here.
Well, thank you. I'm glad we're sitting in the offices instead of out there and all that smoke.
No doubt. Yeah, you can't even see. You've been in our studio a number of times, and you can't even see the foothills, man. I mean, it is just unbelievable. Yeah. It really is. Well, I tell you, this has been a unbelievable time. See, a guy told me just to always use the word unbelievable. If people ask you how business is or whatever, tell them it's unbelievable because that covers it both ways. So
yes,
I tell you, it has been unbelievable times, boy, these last 6-7 months, which seems like 6 or 7 years, hasn't it?
It has. It seems very, very long, and God, it looks like we still have some time coming up.
Yes, sir. It sure does. So, David, let's talk about it. You know, no matter what you talk about in your seminars, different things like that, you know, it seems like something that always comes up. And I think everybody's question, no matter how old they are, how much money they got, they don't want to take the chance of outliving their money, do they?
No, and that's a key area for folks. In fact, it's one of the top concerns that people have, is making sure they don't run out of money. And it's easier said than done. When we look at the options that retirees have or people that are going to retire, most people look at their assets and then they kind of determine each year how much money you can withdraw from those assets. And try to withdraw the right percent and the right amount so that it will last your lifetime and you know it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's easier said than done. And now just a couple of examples in essence. You know, years ago, we used to earn 5% fixed from the bank. And if we were taking out a traditional percentage that the textbooks say we should take out like 4%. Well, if you're taking out 4% and you're guaranteed 5% earnings,
right,
then what does that tell you? It tells you you're not going to run out of money under normal conditions. You know, if you're following your budget and you are earning 5 and only taking out 4, then your principal will stay intact and grow a little bit. And that was always helpful for most retirees to know that. But, of course, now interest rates are what? Interest rates are zero. And the government says that that's going to be that way for maybe the next 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
Well, now what do people do? Well, they really only have a couple of choices. They could put it in that interest bearing, and let's say they could earn 1%. All right, at the bank or in another facility and get that 1%. But if they need to take out 4, what's going to happen? You're going to run out of money a lot sooner than you think.
Sure.
Because we're taking out 3% excess. All right, and when you look at married couples today, married couples that are 65, there's a third chance. There's over a 33% chance that one of them are going to live to 90 and over a 25% chance that one will live to 95. So you've got to have at least 30 years of protection, of income coming in, you know, to maintain yourselves. And if the interest rates, the guarantee interest rates from banks aren't doing it, what's your alternative? Well, your alternative is to build a portfolio of stocks, at least some portion, maybe 60% in stocks. But what happens if we have a 208? Market goes down 50%. Well, your account value is going to go down 50%.
Sure.
You know, and although we might be earning 4%, if we're earning 4% on 100% of our assets, then we're okay, pretty good. But if we're only earning 4% on 50% of our assets because the stock market collapses, that's not good at all. Mm-hmm. We could very easily not only run out of money, we could run out of our principal.
Yes, sir.
Before. So it's a quandary for retirees or people coming in. And the bottom line, which is why we have our seminars, is we teach people how to look at those things. And even in our classes, teach them how to utilize certain tools to protect themselves. But the fact of the matter remains, it's a quandary. It's difficult, and it's not something that you can just do and forget and put in a drawer.
Absolutely. And, you know, just looking through some of your course outlines on some of these things about how long my money will last, you know, you do talk about estimating annual retirement expenses, calculating the annual withdrawal rates like you were just talking about. Then another big part of this is taxes and inflation. And that sounds, most people get the taxes, but you know what? Do we all really understand inflation and how that works? I would say many of us don't. And I say us, but I mean many of us don't, you know?
Well, that's true. You know, and one of the things, taxes and inflation is that we're the government spending billions and trillions of dollars during this pandemic, and someone's going to have to pay that back at some point in time, which means our taxes, in all probability, will go up. We need to plan for that.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to plan for the silent embezzler, Mr. Inflation, because we have inflation that hurts our purchasing power as it goes on. Inflation has been relatively low, depending on what figure you believe from the federal government. You know, they're trying to keep inflation around 2%. I don't know about you, but it's not 2% inflation in the grocery stores.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
You know, and they don't count that in their inflationary figures. But, you know, if we were earning, or let's say that the average person had to live on $4,000 a month once they're retired. Well, they can run, if they run into trouble with their assets, they can always cut back on their lifestyle and cut back on their expenses.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, most people don't want to do that. But if we have earning on $4,000 and it's today's dollars, and we look at, well, you know, let's go 10 years down the road, and let's say inflation is only 3%, all right, you know, what do we have to have? We've got to earn over $5,300 a month instead of $4,000 just to keep up with purchasing power.
Right.
And the longer it goes, the worse it gets. So again, inflation and taxation is very important, and you have to know the strategies or the techniques that you can use to help counter some of that stuff. You can't wipe it out entirely, but we've got to be able to have purchasing power so that we can buy those goods and services we need.
Sure, and then you figure in medical. Yeah, you figure in then medical things, and who knows? Good night. Who knows where medical things are going to go over these next couple of years?
Well, that's just it. I mean, you know, they're saying now you have to plan for medical costs in your retirement years of $250,000 at least per person. And what is the one sector of the marketplace with inflation that seems to go up all the time regardless of other areas? And of course that is inflation on the medical costs of things.
Right.
So if we just say that medical is going to increase 3% a year, what's it going to be in 15 years for somebody? You know, the fact of the matter is that it's going to entail a tremendous amount of money. Inflation for a year or two isn't a big deal, but once it starts going and rolling every year, it's compounding what little less we can buy with that same dollar bill.
Yes, sir. David Cishan is our guest once again. Cishan Financial, they're with the Householder Group. They are estate and retirement specialists. And I tell you what, you're going to get to learn a lot more about what we're talking about if you would like to attend one of the next upcoming four dinners that Cishan Financial is offering. These are going to be held at Eddie Merlot's at Dry Creek and I-25. And the next one is up Wednesday, October the 14th. Now, all of these will be at 6 o'clock, so we'll make that easy. But we've got Wednesday the 14th, and then Tuesday the 20th, Wednesday the 21st, Thursday the 22nd. And they will be practicing all the social distancing, mask, all of that, presentation run about an hour. But you'll have a very nice dinner and get a chance to meet David and let him go through some of the things we are talking about today. All you need to do is simply call 720-845-6718. Again, 720-845-6718 to RSVP. And this will be a good time for you, as well as getting to meet David and learn a little bit more about Cishan Financial. And David, who would you say, who would these really be perfect for to come to one of these dinners?
Well, they're perfect for people that are searching for education, because this whole seminar that we do, dinner seminar, is education. How do you handle certain strategies if you need to? What do you have to do? What are your choices? All right. And it's not about products. We don't do that. We talk about solutions. We talk about problems and solutions in all five areas of financial planning. And based on the new tax laws and the new laws that were passed, like the SECURE Act and so forth, how does that affect me today?
Mm-hmm.
And pre-retirees is ideal. Post-retirees that have already retired is ideal as well, because they need to be constantly educated on the new tools that are available or new strategies that you can use.
Absolutely. And David always is kind enough to offer a free consultation for a second opinion. So, again, we talk about that a lot in the medical world. Hey, if you get diagnosis and you don't like it most of the time, we want that second opinion. And you know what? This is a chance you can go and meet with David, sit down with him, and let him look over what you are currently have going on, and let him give you a good analysis on a second opinion, and that won't cost you anything for that initial consultation.
Right.
So, again, their number is 720-482-1917 for that second opinion. But once again, if your calendar is open for one of these dates, Wednesday, October 14th, Tuesday the 20th, Wednesday the 21st, or Thursday the 22nd, all at 6 p.m., Eddie Merlot's at Dry Creek and I-25, and just let them know you heard about them here on The Educated Investor, and they will get you signed up. So, David, as always, we appreciate it, sir, and we'll look forward
Thanks,
to next
Scott.
Week. And I'll get by and see you, sir.
You betcha.
All right. Thank
Be
you.
Safe.
That is
Bye.
David Cishan with the Householder Group and Cishan Financial, 720-482-1917.
Hi, everybody. Jack Corrigan. There's no better time than now to visit my friends at Len Lyle Chevrolet. They're open, following all proper safety precautions, and ready to offer terrific deals. Suburbans for over $10,000 less, better than $7,000 off a brand new Equinox. And Len Lyle Chevy has 0% financing on almost every model. Plus, they need trade-ins badly, so they're willing to pay over book value. Len Lyle Chevrolet, it's time for you to go east and pay the least. And did I mention they need your trade-in?
Is your vision stopping you from enjoying your outdoor activities? Hi, this is Scott Watley for Stack Optical. Get by Stack Optical today and check out the Stack Sports Pack. One great frame where you can easily interchange the lenses to the tint you need for golf, bike riding, shooting, fishing, and yes, even driving. Stack Optical, family owned and operated. They're fully staffed and ready to help you with all of your optical needs, from eye exams, glasses, contacts, and yes, even repairs. And rest assured, Stack Optical has taken every precaution to ensure your safety and that you have a clean environment. 2233 South Monaco Parkway, 303-321-1578. Call them now. 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com. And remember, at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
Rush to Reason with John Rush. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us. Glad to have a couple of guests in studio now. A voice you know on the airways, Dan Muir is with us. Dan, good
hey,
to see you,
Scott.
Bud.
It's great to be here, man.
We don't get to do this
me.
Much, man,
no.
So it's good to have you.
This is awesome.
And also, Casper Stockham is with us. Casper is running for the U.S. House, Colorado 7th Congressional District. So, Casper, great to have you back in with us, Bud.
It's good to be back with you, Scott. Appreciate it.
All right, Dan.
Yes, sir.
Our country's in a mess.
Oh, man, is it ever. Well, we're in trouble.
Son.
We are in trouble. And I'll tell you what, if Donald Trump isn't reelected, we're in really big trouble.
Yeah.
But now part of that is we need our side to get out there and really campaign for him, talk to your neighbors, but get out there and vote. But vote for the people down ticket like Casper. Casper here, he's running for the U.S. House. We need to take the House back.
Yes.
And if we can get a mandate, unlike the first time the Republicans had the House with Donald Trump as president, if we could get a mandate, the Republicans then will act and we can really straighten this ship around.
Yep.
Casper,
absolutely.
What are your thoughts?
Oh, 100%. 100%. We can and we need to. And if we don't, they always say that the election that we're in is the most important. But, we talked about this before. It's like, no, really.
This is very true.
This
man.
Is the most important election.
Son. You were telling me you went to a meeting in Atlanta.
Yes. So a couple weeks ago, I got an invite, actually, to a invitation-only meeting that President Trump was going to be presenting rolling out a new plan.
Okay.
Now, for the past 4 years, he has been doing phenomenal work helping the black community. And a lot of that is being shoved under the rug or ignored or whatever. But I've been noticing, and a lot of leaders are starting to now notice, when I say leaders, like black leaders in the community. So went to Atlanta. There were hundreds of black folks in the audience, and, of course, President Trump was there. And he rolled out what he's called the Platinum Plan. And I have a copy of it here. I just want to cover a couple quick
sure.
highlights on it. So this is again, this is not something he's rolling out because it's election time. This is like icing on the cake. He's already been doing phenomenal work. First Step Act, Second Chance Act, criminal justice reform, permanently funding HBCUs, which is historical black colleges and universities. All these type of things. This is icing on top of all that,
okay.
Right? So this plan, it's called the Platinum Plan. It would increase access to capital in black communities by almost $500
billion. That's
huge. Now, when people hear that, especially when conservatives hear that, they say, well, okay, well, I don't want to have that my taxes raised for that to happen. This is not tax money. This is the government partnering with private industries to create more jobs and opportunities in the areas that normally don't get access to it. Now, we also have to be real. A lot of those areas now are on fire. Right? Because
yeah.
of the riots.
Exactly.
But it's not because of conservatives and Republicans or Trump. It's because they're run by Democrat governors and mayors. So that's why they're on fire. But after the fire has settled down and people realize that, okay, now we got to rebuild, mm-hmm. there's going to be some money to rebuild. Right? Does that make sense?
Yep.
He's also talking about 3 million new jobs for the black community. Again, those jobs would come from the industries that will be rising back up from the ashes, if you will. Creating 500,000 new black-owned businesses. Now, before COVID, there were over 400,000 new black businesses from just from the 3 to 4 years that Trump was in office. 400,000.
Mm-hmm.
So what he is saying is that after we get through the COVID and after we start rebuilding, he's going to rebuild it to 500,000 new businesses. Let's see, increasing access to capital in the black communities by almost $5 billion. I talked about that earlier. Safe urban neighborhoods with highest policing policy standards. So one of the things that the left always tries to say is that, we need to defund the police. Well, we know that's a road to chaos, okay?
Yeah.
You're either going to be ruled by the local police or mobs, gangs, or the feds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not interested in mobs, the gangs, or the feds.
No.
I want local police because I can put my hands on them. I can, we can have a conversation. We can talk to the chief of police, right? You can't, when the feds come in, there is no discussion.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming in to clamp down, and there's no, well, maybe, no, we're coming in to clamp down because it's chaos, right? And mob rule is them shooting you on the street if they don't like what you're doing.
Yeah. Right.
So we need to stick with the local police, and President Trump is a huge supporter, as am I, of the men and women in blue. And then I just talk about one more, giving black churches the ability to compete for federal resources for the communities. A lot of the churches were not given access to, like, the PPE money that came through. I know a lot of black churches that are struggling right now because, you know, the parishioners are home.
Sure.
And they're trying to pay the rent or pay the lease or whatever, and are struggling. So they are an employer just like a lot of other businesses, you know. So this plan would give them help.
Yeah. Here's what's kind of confusing for me, and Dan, chime in here, but, you know, you talk about what all President Trump has done for the black community, mm-hmm. yet you watch other TV programs or hear other Democratic side, other black community, and act like he's the worst president ever for the black community.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Scott, obviously only a racist would do this much for the black community.
Right. Yeah, he's just, you know. He is like the worst racist ever.
He is.
Man, he's failing on that. I never thought that President Trump would be a failure on something, but he is a failure.
He's the worst at being a racist.
Oh,
I mean,
my God.
Good grief.
Yeah, I mean, any celebrity that you can think of, name me a black celebrity over the past 20, 30 years, they have all either taken pictures with or hung out with President Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Every one of
them. And to include Tupac. I saw a picture of President Trump and Tupac Shakur. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Yeah. You know, but this really, you know, because eventually President Trump's going to be a private citizen again. He's going to go back into business. He's going to do these things. I bet you he'll remember who his friends are now.
Yes, he will. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, he will. I mean, they weren't calling him for money, you know, for donations for all their projects.
Sure.
But they were like hugging. There's a picture of Oprah, like, literally hugging on him like she's his girlfriend. I'm like, okay, first of all, a racist is not going to let a black woman hug on him, and a black woman's not going to hug on a racist.
No.
Right?
Not at all.
Yeah, so it's crazy.
So, Dan, where do we go from here? We got to get Casper.
Well, yeah. I mean, we need numbers. Our side is enthusiastic. Our side is ready to get out there and vote. We just have to remember to vote down the ticket. We have to remember to vote for the Republican because Trump needs the help.
Yeah,
it's not just putting Trump in office, but he needs the help.
Yeah.
So if you're a minority and you like Trump, vote for the R that's down line from Trump. You've got to do it.
Right.
That'll change everything right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the good news is, guys, is that he has a growing fan base in the black community. The media is trying to hide it, but easily 20-30% of the black community supports President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that needs to translate into about 15-20% of the vote. If that one thing happens, he wins. Just that one thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? He also has the 30-40% approval rating in Hispanic community. It's even higher in the Hispanic community. Even after they claim that he's, you know, he hates people from Mexico and all this other stuff. Well, the Hispanic community is very conservative. They're very business-oriented. They're very entrepreneurial. And they know that the best person to make sure that their business is solid is Trump.
Well, even the illegals, I was talking to a guy that happens to have a lot of illegals in that industry, not his absolute business, but anyway. So he was saying the illegals he was talking to, they said if they could vote, they would vote for Trump simply because their paychecks have gone up substantially since Trump's been president.
Yeah, it comes down to dollars and cents.
Well, so you and I, we were at that rally in Colorado Springs, which seems like freaking 10 years ago. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that does. But, man, there was every walk of life in that, wasn't there?
Yes.
I mean.
And I've been to many, many rallies, Tea Party events. And sometimes there's like a handful of blacks or a handful of Hispanics or whatever. I have never, ever felt uncomfortable. Never, ever felt like, I think I walked into the wrong meeting. You know? That's never happened.
Right.
And I tell people all the time, I said, I am sure I've been called the N-word by a Republican or two, but most of the time it's by Democrats calling me the N-word. I'm like, so why would I, as a black conservative or a black person in general, why would I embrace a group that has no problem calling me the N-word? And I think it was about 2 years ago, I was at the ICE detention center. We were having a rally at the ICE center in Aurora. And I had someone call me the N-word. And it kind of blew up and stuff. I was on Peter Boyle's show and all that stuff. But I had thousands of Republicans apologize for the Democrat calling me the N-word.
Right.
Yeah.
I had zero Democrats apologizing for the Democrat calling me the N-word.
Yeah.
So.
All right, let's spend our next couple of minutes helping you out.
Yes. Yeah, so we are out in the neighborhoods. We are getting yard signs out. We got a bunch of yard signs in right now. We're going to be literally placing them at every home that, you know, that will take it. I'm out knocking on doors, and Scott and Dan, I'm not just knocking on Republican doors, because we need more than just Republicans to vote to win.
Especially in your district. Absolutely.
Exactly. Exactly. So I knock on the first door that comes up, and this is funny, because if they have a Black Lives Matter sign, I definitely knock on that door.
Sure.
Yeah. And I've had some very interesting conversations with people at the door, and they have a Black Lives Matter sign. This one lady, she had a Bernie Sanders sign still in her yard. She had a Black Lives Matter sign in the middle, and then a Biden-Harris sign, right? So I'm like, oh, I've got to knock on this door. So I knock on the door, and I step back about 10 feet because I'm never wearing a mask out there. And she comes to the door. She says, you know, can I help you? I say, hey, my name is Casper Stock. I'm running for Congress in this district. Oops. In this district, and I'm running against Ed Perlmutter. She goes, you're running against Perlmutter? I said, yes, yes, ma'am. She goes, well, you do see the signs, right? Yeah, yeah, I see that. I said, but Perlmutter hasn't done anything for Black lives. And you say you care about Black lives. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Well, he's not doing anything. I am. Sure. I'm out
there. There you go.
I'm out here. So we talked for 10 minutes. And, you know, she challenged me on Trump, you know, and she said, well, you're not going to convince me you know, to vote for Trump because he's mean and this, that. I get all that. I said, but let's talk about Casper and Ed.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, yeah.
And she took my literature, right? This is a Black Lives Matter sign, Biden, all that stuff. She took my literature. So I'm not saying she's going to vote for me. What I'm saying is that we can make a difference, you know, with these, with soft Democrats and even unaffiliated voters as well. And then the guy just literally today, he's a Democrat, went to his door, said the same thing, and he said, you know, but I'm Democrat. I can't vote for you. I'm like, yes, you can. You certainly can't vote for me. Yeah.
Really? That is conceptual.
I put a yard sign in his yard, and he's voting for me, and he's registered Democrat.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Cool. That's what we need.
Yeah.
Go to CasperForColorado.com, and, boy, I'm sure there's ways you can contact in there where people want to come out and volunteer for you and
put some yard signs out and all that. Yeah. We have a contact form. We have a phone number to the website. Most campaigns, you know, the phone number goes, you know, to a mailbox or something.
Yeah.
The phone on our website rings my cell phone.
All right.
Okay, so they can reach me directly.
That'll work. Yeah. Well, Casper, we're going to do all we can here, man. We got a few weeks here to get after it. So
I appreciate
hope everybody
you,
will help you out, man. Yes, thank you. Dan, thank you very much,
thanks,
sir.
It was a blast.
Good to see you. CasperForColorado.com. Go there today. Let's help Casper out. We'll be right back.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason is coming up at 3. Now, back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome to Your Health Matters, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Traditional medicine has left you frustrated. You've seen doctor after doctor searching for answers, only to feel more confused than ever. Chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman, along with his team at Integrated Health Systems, does the detective work you need to identify causes, not just treat your symptoms. Using a team approach to combine functional medicine with neurology, Integrated Health Systems spends the necessary time with each client to find out what's really going on.
Thanks to Dr. Stedman and his team, many clients who struggle with debilitating health issues have finally found relief. Now, Haystack Help Radio proudly presents Your Health Matters.
And welcome, everybody, to Your Health Matters. I'm your host, Dan Muir, in for Scott Whatley. And it's always great to talk to the founder and owner of Integrated Health Systems, Dr. Shane Stedman. Dr. Stedman, how you doing today, man?
Good, Dan. How are you doing?
Doing great, except for one thing. Now, we're going to get into our subject matter here, but I could hardly pronounce it. S-I-B-O. I thought it maybe it was something else, but, you know, it could be anything. But it's but we're going to talk about small intestinal bacteria overgrowth. But before we do that, tell us about Integrated Health Systems and what you guys do over there.
Well, we really specialize in trying to figure out people's problems. And we use a team approach to do that. You know, so we have doctors on staff. We have a nurse practitioner. So probably since last time I talked with you, we now have a nurse practitioner on board.
Oh, fantastic.
So we can help with medications, and we can do IV therapies now. So we can add in some of those really like heavy hitters of nutrition if we needed to. So we can do IV glutathione and vitamin C and zinc and Toradol shots. And So now we have a little bit more of like an interdisciplinary type of approach. And so having somebody like the nurse practitioner kind of gives us a little bit of that Western medicine. We have the Eastern medicine, holistic side, functional medicine, neurology. And we pull all those pieces and tools together to help figure out why people have some really chronic issues.
And it sounds like you can treat things right there. You don't have to necessarily refer them out somewhere. So you can take care of things right in-house. And that's got to be a really nice benefit.
Oh, that has made my life so much better. it's in the past is like we would have, you would find, let's say, like a parasite with somebody. And so then you'd have to refer them back to their doctor and then deal with the doc. And sometimes they wanted to help and sometimes they didn't. Sometimes they'd get the right medication. Sometimes they didn't. And it just ended up this back and forth battle of, sometimes it'd take 3-4 weeks just to get somewhere. And then ever since getting like a nurse practitioner. So if we use that same example, I can say, hey, just check in with her this week and she could do a telehealth for you and get that scheduled. And you're like, done.
That's had to have made your life a whole lot easier, instead of the back and forth. And your customers have got to be happier too, aren't they?
Yeah, that's probably been the biggest thing that we've heard, kind of what you said earlier, is, man, you can do this all under one roof. And so, even with some of the thyroid disorders that we deal with, we have a nurse practitioner that can, really support on the medication side. We can support on the supplements, change up their diet. And, it's all under one roof, which, the patients don't have to go to 50 million doctors to get this taken care of. And we're all talking with each other all the time. So that makes it better.
Well, that's absolutely fantastic. So are there a couple of ways that people can get in and see you, or is it pretty much all done via the internet now?
No, people can get, we're open as normal. So,
oh, good.
People can schedule a consultation in person on the phone, or we can do a video conference. So we tend to do more video conferences for people who live out of state, or they drive, a couple hours to see us. And then, and same with the phone, but in person, it's always great to see people in person. You kind of get a sense of how they are, and they get to see our office and realize that we're not in some weird alley, that we're actually in a medical building. And, and we're legit. We try to do things the right way, and we try to be really professional. And so, when you come to see us and you get to see all those pieces, you're like, okay, I see what they're trying to do. This is really nice. These guys are nice. Their staff is nice. And, so I like to do in person, but, if we have to do virtual, then we could do that too.
And Dr. Stedman, I would think, I'm not a doctor, but I would think that it would also be an advantage to you to actually see the person, be able to, maybe examine them more up close than it would be virtually when they're in the office.
Yeah, it's definitely easier to do that because you see certain things, when people are, even just during like a simple consultation, sometimes you get to see people's hands, they'll tremor. And so you ask them about that, like, do your hands tremor all the time? Or you can see one of their eyelids are drooping, or maybe their skin is really dry, or they have hives, or, like little things like that. And you kind of pick up on those observational pieces and you go, hey, what about that? Or have you always had that? Or, why are you always itching? Why, all those like little things that sometimes that you don't get to see when you're on a phone, you know, because people go, oh, I just live with it, you know, and you're like, no, right. No, you just live with it, but.
Yeah, and they may not even know they're necessarily doing that. You know, I mean, you probably, so let's say you and I were in a consultation, right? And you probably take one look at me and you go, man, you've got really bad ADD, don't you? You probably couldn't tell that over the phone, but you could tell that by looking at me because I'm off looking out the window. I'm not paying attention to anything. You can pick up those things where maybe I didn't even know I was doing it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you see that stuff all the time. People are fidgeting, playing with stuff. They're, looking out the window, not making eye contact with you. Sometimes you look at their facial features and they could be, they call it like a flat affect where, you know, it looks like they're upset. You can see anxiety if they're like, you know, twitching under the table, shaking their legs. You know, if they have to turn off the lights in the office because they're too bright for them. Like there's all these little kind of like, it's almost like anytime you talk with a patient, it's hard not to start like examining them.
Right.
You know, so to see a person, you definitely get, you know, more of a sense of who they are. So my other option is always like video. I mean, I like doing video chat because you still get to see the person and see what they're doing, even if they're not, you know, in person. And so those are always our two options. But man, any way you can get in here, I don't care. It's just nice to meet with people and see if we can help.
Well, that's fantastic. Okay, so let's say people call Integrated Health Systems, and you can do that by calling 303-781-5617. So let's say I call that number. What happens next?
So usually either Sandy or Lindsay, so they run the front. They'll usually talk with whoever calls. And usually people say, I want to schedule a consultation with Dr. Stedman, you know, or Dr. Maynard or anybody in this office. And they'll say, okay, great. And so we'll kind of explain to them that it's usually about, you know, about it's 30-minute appointments that we do for free. And we sit down one-on-one with the patients and we go over their main complaints. And so the purpose of our consultations is to see, you know, is this a good fit, you know, because they may not jive with us and maybe we just don't think they're a good fit. Maybe they have, something that's pretty severe that I need them to go get an MRI first. So kind of the consultation, they'll tell them is a really good way to kind of do a meet and greet and kind of figure out what would be the next steps or what will we do after that appointment. So what kind of exam would we do? Would we do blood work? Would we order an MRI? Would I order a CT scan? You know, what would I do? Because I want to try to get the ball rolling as quick as possible. You know, so that consultation kind of helps me understand where to go. And so then after that, patients will come in, a little bit before their appointment, and they'll fill out a really easy, just one-page paperwork on, you know, their name and date of birth. So nothing crazy. And they just get sit down and meet with us. And then after we meet, you know, usually everybody wants to know how does insurance work and cost. And so, you know, I'll tell Sandra or Lindsay, hey, here's where I want to do to get started. Here's the things I want to order. Here's the type of exam I want. And they will put that together and they'll go over that with the patient. So usually by the time you're done with the consult, you know who we are. You've met us. You've met the staff. You know how much things are going to cost. You know if insurance will cover. And, you know, so you get a really good idea of whether or not this is a good fit for the patient. Because at the end of the day, you know, we're also trying to sell ourselves. And so we want it to be a good fit. And it's a great way. It's just a no stress, easy way to meet and greet. And if it doesn't work, great. And if it does, then that's awesome.
Yeah, that sounds like a great process. And the other thing of it is, too, you know, somebody like me, I just want to go online. All right, let's see what he's got, right? But you can go online and kind of get an idea, but you really, everybody's different. So you really don't know, especially me as the consumer, what it is I need until I actually meet with you and see you.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I'm the same way. You know, I can read about somebody and, you know, let's say like braces, you know, my daughter has braces and, you know, I think we talked to three or four different clinics, you know, before we decided, hey, this is the clinic that seems like the best fit for us, you know, like she, you know, how their office operated, how their staff, you know, treated us, greeted us. I mean, those are all things that are incredibly important, you know? And so, you know, if I do that with my daughter's braces, you know, then why shouldn't people do that with me? You know? So, and I think it's good to have a good fit because these are long, this is kind of a little bit of a relationship that we build, you know, it's diagnosing somebody and then telling somebody what to do. But at the end of the day, we're kind of building a relationship. And so you want trust in that relationship. And if we're not trusting each other, if we're not jiving, if our personalities are just clashing, this is not going to work out and you don't want to waste anybody's time or money. And so that's kind of, to me, the most important piece of the consultation.
Well, absolutely. I mean, okay, I know this could sound kind of strange, but your health is with you for the rest of your life. And so this is really important stuff. I mean, do you want to be how you are now? Do you want to be better? What can you do to maintain, if you're in good health, what can you do to maintain your health as you age? These are all important things. And like you say, a relationship is extremely important because you want to, first of all, like and trust the person that's guiding you along that path.
Oh, you said it perfectly. You know, and there's times when I've had relationships with patients that, you know, it's kind of like dating. You know, where it starts off really well, and then you're like, yeah, we're just not jiving anymore for whatever reason, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's certain times when you meet somebody and it's just and people can be really grumpy when they're not feeling well, and that's understandable. You know, so you're trying to look past that and go, are you kind of being grumpy, or are you mean? And, you know, and if I don't feel like, hey, this is a good fit for me, I don't want to come to work with a bunch of people who are not nice.
So exactly.
I love the consultation process. It's super simple. It's easy. And if we work, great. And if we don't, then I'll even give you a name to somebody else, you know? So as long as you get better, I don't care.
Yeah, that's really good. I think that's really important too, because, you know, not everybody and everything fits together, and you want to find that match, because once again, you know, this is going to last that person the rest of their life. You know, their health is with them forever until they die. And so you want to make sure you're with the right person. And that's a great way of doing it. Okay, so now the subject matter, three signs that you have SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. Okay, first of all, what the heck is that?
So to make it easy, and this is why you see the SIBO, so a lot of us say SIBO. So people that know this, they're probably even listening to you going, it's SIBO, it's SIBO. So, and it's because nobody wants to say small intestinal bacterial overgrowth all the time. So we all just say, oh, you have SIBO. So what are three signs that you have SIBO?
Okay.
So I'll kind of explain what SIBO is, and this is what our webinar is going to be on, you know, tomorrow. So I'll go into a, you know, good, you know, probably 45-minute explanation on this. But to make it really simple, what happens is you have a bunch of bacteria that's normally in your large intestines, and that's where they belong.
Okay.
But every once in a while, if something happens, i.e. stress or trauma, car accidents, even things like hypothyroid, it slows down the digestive flow. So what happens is the bacteria, they have a means of swimming upstream. So if, you know, it's kind of like if you're trying to get your canoe, you know, if you're trying to go against the flow of the river, you're not going to get very far because the river is always going to push you back down to the bottom.
Right.
And that's kind of what happens in your digestive tract, is that you're just the movement of food and things like that keep everything pushed down towards the bottom. But if you ever get constipated or something happens where the flow decreases, the bacteria are super happy because all the food sources in the small intestines. So the bacteria start like migrating and making their way from the large up into the small. So that's why they call it small intestinal bacteria overgrowth.
Okay.
And they want to be there. I mean, it's like a buffet. They're like, look at this. Like, it's like, you know, it's like heaven.
That's like me at Pig Out Palace, right, Doc?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And they're super excited. So as a result, they eat and they eat and they eat and they eat and they release gas.
Ooh. Okay.
So the gas, they kind of release two main gases. One is methane and one is hydrogen. And so when they release these gases, people get super bloated. And what you tend to hear from people is they say, man, I get more and more bloated as the day goes on. And by the end of the night, I look like I'm 7 months pregnant. And you're like, huh, that's usually kind of screams SIBO. So that's kind of like one of your symptoms. So if you eat something, they eat it too, and they release a gas. That's kind of like one symptom. And usually with that, with those two gases, is one gas like methane actually causes constipation, and the other gas, hydrogen, causes loose stools. And you can actually have both gases, and so you have this mix. And kind of classically, what you hear people being diagnosed with is IBS. So a lot of times when you start hearing IBS, that's one of the things you want to think of is, does this person have SIBO? Because as long as those bacteria hang out in your small intestines, you're not getting rid of this IBS. And so that's kind of one of the major symptoms of SIBO that we're going to be talking on tomorrow.
So how frequently? Okay, yeah. Once again, you got a webinar tomorrow night at 6, or Tuesday night at 6. And for more information, give Dr. Stedman a call at 303-781-5617. So this thing about the diarrhea and the constipation, and then you're saying you could have both. What kind of intervals would that happen in? How do you know that you might have the, or can you know that you might have SIBO based on this?
Yeah. So usually, if you get you kind of see that bloating with like the changes in stools. So people talk about how they go constipation, and then all of a sudden it's diarrhea, constipation, and it just alternates back and forth. So even in the world of IBS, there's IBS-C, which stands for constipation, IBS-D, and then IBS-M for mixed. So when you start looking at all these like mixed and different things like that, there's a lot of different causes of IBS, but one of the big ones is SIBO. And it makes sense with all the gases. And so, yeah, if we do things to like decrease, you know, the small intestines, so we have to get them out of those small intestines. We have to say, okay, bacteria, you don't belong here anymore. So we have to like kill them off and destroy them in the small intestines. And we got to find a way to get them back down to the large intestines and then make sure your digestive system is always moving at a good speed so that they're always pushed back down to the bottom. So that's kind of – so wow. If people have like changes in stools and they're always constantly bloated all the time, that's pretty good sign that you might have SIBO.
Now, can you have SIBO and not be gassy?
You can, but it's kind of rare.
Okay.
Because it's kind of rare. I mean, there's kind of some other gases that they talk about, but usually it's the bloating that's kind of the big one.
Okay. So now, my other question is, okay, so like you can get, okay, you go eat a Taco Bell, you're going to get gas. That's just how it happens, right? But is there like a type? Is there, if you're not normally gassy and you go eat Taco Bell, then you're gassy, you probably, do you have SIBO, or is this like a something that where you're just constantly gassy all the time?
So you can have gassiness that's from, you know, like beans, you know, beans release a gas. And so, you know, if you had refried beans, you know, then that would make some sense. You can also get gas just from food allergies, you know, because if you have inflammation in your digestive tract, that can create some gas and bloating. And so that it's crazy because when patients come in and they say, I have gas and bloating, that's what I have to try to figure out is it gas and bloating because you have a parasite, a food allergy, because you are not eating the right foods, you know, so you're trying to figure that piece out with gas and bloating. But usually gas and bloating tells you, you have something wrong. Now, the difference between like SIBO and a food allergy is with a food allergy, beans. I mean, if you had beans like on Monday and Thursday, and that's the only time you had bloating, well, then that probably says it's the beans. You know, if you have gas, you know, every single morning, you know, and you happen to have eggs with, you know, eggs, bacon, and toast every morning, well, then now it could be either the toast or the eggs. You know, and if your bloating gets better as the day goes on, so let's say you have like eggs and toast and you get bloated, but by the afternoon your stomach is back down to normal, well, you know there's probably a food allergy. So kind of the difference with SIBO is you can have a salad and it will bloat you up, and then you'll for lunch maybe you have, or let's say you have some eggs for breakfast and now you're bloated.
Okay.
And then you have a salad for lunch, you're bloated even more, and then you decide to have some chicken and broccoli for dinner and now you look like you're pregnant.
Okay.
That's SIBO.
That's SIBO. Okay. And once again, you're listening to Your Health Matters with Dr. Shane Stedman of Integrated Health Systems. And you can find out more by going to integratedhealthdenver.com. And you can also call them about the upcoming webinar, which is tomorrow night at 6, by calling 303-781-5617. So, Doc, what are some of the things that people can do to help with SIBO?
Some of the things that they can try on their own is there's something called a FODMAP diet. So it's FODMAP, so FODMAP. And what FODMAP is basically it takes, they categorize all these foods, and there's foods that have a lot of fructose. So the F in FODMAP means fructose. And so things like fruit has fructose in it, but so do like onions have fructose and garlic has fructose. And so those, the fructose, the bacteria definitely love to eat those foods out of a mall. So some of the SIBO have a reaction with proteins. You know, so if you have a big steak, you know, that could bloat you a little bit. But most often you kind of see those fructose foods. And so you'll see a lot of times people will try what's called a FODMAP. So if you try a FODMAP diet and you do much, much, much better, then that's probably indicative of SIBO. Now, that doesn't mean that it's a FODMAP diet forever, because that's a really restrictive diet. But that's when we sometimes have to get into certain herbs, like antibacterial herbs, or there's actually antibacterial medication. And this is where it's nice to have a nurse practitioner. So those are some of the things that patients can do. But you almost have to kind of figure out, do you have it or not? So usually that diet is kind of a first step of figuring it out. If you feel a ton better on that diet, yeah, there's probably a good chance you have SIBO. So now we have to figure out what's causing it too. And that could be tough, because if it's stress, then how do we fix the stress? If you're getting older and your brain is not working as well as it should, that can also be a factor. If you have thyroid disorders, that can cause it. So it's always that's the hard part. And I think that's where we come into play as docs, is we're trying to uncover these pieces, which for some patients it's easy, and other patients it's really, really hard.
Yeah, this sounds pretty complicated, but it also is something you really need to address, because you don't want to be in that condition every day. I mean, to me, it sounds painful. Is there a big difference between bloating and inflammation?
Ooh, yes and no. So inflammation can lead to bloating.
Okay.
You know, but if you're also bloated, that can also cause inflammation.
Okay. So they are two different things.
Yeah, but they tend to go together quite often. Because even like the bacteria, having all that bacteria in your small intestines can cause inflammation, because that's not supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. So now your immune system's going like, what are you doing here? Get out, get out, get out, get out. And that creates inflammation, which then that can lead to that concept called leaky gut, where the permeability in your gut is, the gaps are bigger. So now you're actually getting more food proteins, and that creates more food allergies. So these are the kind of patients that when they just come in, they're just kind of a hot mess, and you're trying to figure out where to start.
God, I can only imagine. And once again, if you're feeling these symptoms, like he says, the symptoms can be stress, hypothyroid, brain injuries.
Yep.
Well, how do brain injuries fit into this? I find that one just kind of interesting.
You know, it is. And I think over the past 4 or 5 years, there's so much more information that's come out on this, but there's a whole brain gut connection, and a lot of people have heard that brain gut communication, but this communication actually happens through the vagus nerve, and the vagus nerve is found in your lower brain stem, and that's kind of where you're like swallowing, all those pieces kind of come from that lower brain stem, but your vagus nerve is there, and your vagus nerve is basically the communication relay between your brain and your gut. So if your brain is not working, the communication down to your gut doesn't work. But what's also crazy enough is that there's a ton of communication that goes from your gut up into the brain. So this is why if somebody has SIBO, for instance, and they have all this bloating, they also tend to complain of brain fog. So there's a massive communication that goes back and forth. So if you have a brain injury, they actually did this really cool study. Not much of my time for you too, so I don't geek out too much. But there's this really cool brain injury study where they took mice, and they kind of induced a concussion in these two groups of mice. And then one group, they stimulated the vagus nerve, and the other group, they didn't do anything. And what they found is that the group that they stimulated the vagus nerve, their gut maintained its function. And the mice that they didn't, they started having all these leaky gut and all these gut issues. So it was kind of really cool that they're literally showing that communication from the brain to the gut, how it goes right through that vagus nerve. And if we actually maintain the vagus nerve, even in concussion states, we can actually maintain the viability of the gut. It's just a cool study to really prove the whole brain-gut theory that had been talked about for years and years and years. They really kind of established and said, nope, it's legit. And so that's kind of a lot of the information that's been coming out on brain injuries and digestive issues.
That is fascinating. I would have never guessed that in a million years. I mean, that's just totally fascinating.
Yeah, super cool.
Okay, so and then hormonal imbalances, autoimmune conditions, food allergies, GI infections. What's a GI infection?
So things like H. pylori infections, I mean, SIBO is an infection, parasites is an infection. So a lot of those infections can really disrupt your gut and then slows down that flow. So when you get into hormonal imbalances, your hormones actually have a pretty significant role in digestive function as well. So you got to make sure your hormones are working, your stress is under control, your thyroid's working, your brain is working, and that you don't have any infections.
I've been accused of my brain not working for many years now, so I may be in trouble. So, no, just real quick, we got like a minute. You're talking about parasites. Now, Doc, we live in America, so nobody has parasites, right?
You would think. There's a lot of people. It's still pretty prevalent out there. But
That one just freaks me out. What are, and I take it you've had some cases with parasites?
Oh, yeah. You pick them up pretty commonly. I mean, because you can get what's called, like, you know, the fecal-oral route, you know, so people that don't clean their hands very well. You can pick it up from just, you know, dirt, or if you didn't wash off vegetables very well, from sushi, sometimes some of your fruits that they weren't, you know, like, so you can still pick up parasites in different forms. And it does kind of make people, like, cringe when you think about it. But, yeah, you can definitely have parasites. They're not... I mean, if you go to another country, it seems like the possibility grows exponentially. But here in the United States, you still have chances of getting parasites. You're not parasite-free.
Well, see, Doc, that's why I eat everything deep-fried. I just kill it all off. Anyway, so, okay, Doc, so tell us about the webinar coming up again tomorrow night at 6 and how people can get a hold of you.
Yeah, so you can call the office at 303-781-5617 and talk to Sandy and get scheduled. You can also go to our Facebook page, Integrated Health Denver or Integrated Brain Centers, and usually all the webinars and the dates and the signups are there, and it's absolutely free. You just get on, listen to us, and it's usually about 30 to 45 minutes, so we don't eat up a lot of your time, and you can learn more about whatever we're talking about that week.
Dr. Stedman, this has been great. As always, thank you, sir. Have a great week.
All right, Dan, you have one. Have a good week as well.
Thank you. And that's it. You've been listening to Your Health Matters with Dr. Shane Stedman. I'm Dan Muir, in for Scott Whiteley. Have a great afternoon.
Call Integrated Health Systems now for a free consultation. 303-781-5617. That's 303-781-5617. To book your consultation online, visit integratedhealthdenver.com. Thank you for listening to Your Health Matters. Be sure to join Dr. Shane Stedman live every Monday at 12:30 p.m. on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.